just welcome you here, Holy Spirit. And we just thank you for the worship this morning. And we thank you for who and what you are. And we just love you. You're just an awesome God. Hallelujah, Father. Amen. Let me just take a few minutes. And I'm going to share some of what I did in intercession this morning. Stevie, can you turn these bulbs down? They're brighter than usual, and I'm having to squint here, and I'd rather not go get my... You don't have to turn them all the way off, but, yeah, fourth of the way or something, so I don't have to go get my sunglasses. And so, that's good. And so, hallelujah. What I'm going to do here, and we'll just see where it goes. I don't really have any notes on this, but it's in my heart. I'm going to give you a prophetic update, prophetic status, from my perspective of where we're at as a church, which is you, and where we're at as a region, and where we're at as a church. And hopefully you'll get something out of it, at least know what's going on, and something take away for encouragement for you. Relationship Church has sowed many seeds for the future and for what the Lord wants to do in the kingdom for a long time. Most every year is a year of war and is a year of battle and sowing seeds. And that's fine. That's our calling, because we're wanting to advance what the kingdom of God's doing in our own life, in our families, and us around us. We've never been a church where we just preach to get you through till next week. I mean, that happens sometimes, but it's mostly this is the direction we want to go and to give instruction and strength to get there. Okay, so that 5 years from now, we're further along instead of still trying to get a message to get through the week. How many of you sense that you're more mature now in the Lord than 5 years ago? Hopefully everybody. Well, we got like four people. Well, I guess that's better than zero. So raise your hands. Hopefully you're further along than you were before. Know the Lord better. Know His Bible better. Able to help other people better. That doesn't mean you don't have setbacks. We've had tons of setbacks. But it says that even the righteous man falls seven times and then gets up. And there's just been many things we've been expanding and pushing. Intimacy with Jesus, hearing the Holy Spirit, the Father's love, some things in the natural of prophetic worship, a lot of different things that the Lord's been doing. And I would say right now, it just dawned on me a few weeks ago, we're in a period as a church where there doesn't seem, it's just rest right now. We may have some, I know a lot of you have some individual challenges that you're working through, but as a whole, it's just been one of the most peaceful times I've ever experienced here at Relationship Church. No crises, no big projects. And it seems like when I listen to the Holy Spirit, He's telling me, when I say RC, it's us, we're exactly where we need to be at this time. And we've done the work that He wants us to in intercession and for the region. And we're waiting. I mean, it won't be this way all the time. God is a Hebrew God. He believes in four seasons. And it goes in circles. It's not, everything in the West goes linearly. We're always in a line, like a timeline. If you read the scriptures in God and Christianity, it is not a timeline. It is a repeating pattern over and over again. And each time it's repeating, it's a circle. Every time it repeats, it's gaining more ground. And He's big in the seasons, and it's just circular. And that's just, that's just a big subject. And so right now, more than I think we've ever had, and at least in recent memory, decade or so, it is just a period of rest and more peace than I've experienced as a general whole. I know there's individual struggles with in pockets, but more peace than I've ever sensed. And so as I go to the Lord, are we getting comfortable? Are we getting complacent? That's how warriors think. Or are we, what's the deal? And He just, is making it clear, you cannot be in the trenches being shot at by bullets all of the time. There are times, and we've had many of those times, but it's just a restful, peaceful time. So I want to congratulate you. We've worked hard the last several years to align our spirit up with God, to hear His voice, to renew our minds, to renew our emotions. I mean, we're not perfect, but I really think we've come a long ways, and to fight the battles he's done. And so it's just a season of rest and a season of peace. Enjoy where you're at. Enjoy your hobbies. Enjoy the time with the Lord, because there will be other seasons. It'll come back around. Well, you said, all right, well, good. You've sort of reaped some of the things you've done, and just enjoy it. Enjoy the fruit. And there'll be other times of moving out and forward. Does anybody agree with what? Do you sense an increase of peace or rest at this time? We're down to one now, so we're doing good. Yeah. Let me get a microphone since they're recording it. Well, let me put it on the recorder. Yeah, yeah, that's good.
You don't take on what the world is dishing out. You take on the peace of God.
Amen. That's good. Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's practice for what's to come. And I think knowing and that we can do this in the midst of things and realizing, hey, I'm okay.
I don't know if you're like me. It's hard for me to be peaceful and restful and not go, what's next? Or always on guard, or always looking at your back. And I think the Lord is doing that, teaching us how to work and be productive. He's teaching us in the future how to be work and be productive in a restful place. And he's teaching us. So I just can congratulate you guys. And I know none of us are perfect, but I think we've done well the last several years and just grown and matured. And I just want to compliment. This is a group effort. And amen. Where we're at as a region, I think, is a lot different. It's going in a good direction. So let me comment on that. And this is Craig. This is my opinion, just watching and walking through the community and being around a lot of different pastors and different types of groups. I mean, I don't know how many I was around this week. A bunch. Five or six easily in several different meetings. All good stuff. I love it. I remember a time not too long ago. You think I'm kidding, but about 5 years ago, nobody in this city wanted to hang out with me. I am not exaggerating. It is the truth. And now to do 4 or 5 meetings a week, sometimes there's none. You know, what's God doing? What do you see? And being a part of group efforts, it is a God thing, I'm telling you. What, 5 years ago or now? Oh, now.
In the last couple of weeks, I was out in a business at lunchtime, and the table across the way was talking about you, and your name came up specifically.
Wow. Wow. I'm telling you, there is no arrogance on my part. When you go through 20 years of being... You just get real close to God and go, am I doing what God wants me to do? And then when it changes, you don't get arrogant. You realize it's just a gift. You just receive it. And so, yeah. And so us as a church has seeded many things in this region. And I want to speak specifically about music right now just to show you some things that are changing. 17 years ago, in 2004... That's a long time. Aniba wasn't even born yet. And making sure he's awake there. And I'm just kidding you. And so 17 years ago, the Lord started leading us in prophetic worship. Back then, we called it spontaneous worship. Do you realize how long ago that was and how so far nobody did that? It was a battle in our own church. It was quite a few people, significant amount of people left over that. But I just knew when I got before the Lord, he says, you're doing this for the future. And I would tell the worship leaders at that time, there will be a day when many people do it in this city. And they were like, I don't think I'm going to live that long if we even survive as a church. They didn't say it, but it was in their eyes. And 2 years ago, we started trying to do a prophetic worship class for the region. And it just didn't go anywhere. It was obvious the time was not right. Well, there's a group of people now outside of here, which is so cool. And the Lord showed, it's so cool because it's not being generated out of us, but has bought a building. It's a long story, but through a network of networks of connections, they're wanting to have what? Guess what? Prophetic worship teaching in a neutral place. I can't go today, but Sean's the main one. He's been asked to sort of help co-lead that with another person. And since we're being recorded, I'm not going to even go into names. It doesn't matter, from another church. They're meeting at 2:30 to see where this thing goes. Do you believe that? I'm telling you. So the Lord, it's not just all because of us, but there's so many hundreds of seeds thrown into this place. And it's an honor to come alongside and help birth this thing. Last summer, our team did the prophetic worship at Kevin Zadai conference. And I started rising. And I started seeing this thing rising. What I'm doing is I'm telling you, some things are just such hard ground. It just takes so long. And we're seeing bits and pieces. It's very small, but there are bits and pieces at some other churches of prophetic worship. Now with a class, this thing could start exploding. There's quite a few independent people that aren't tied to a church doing prophetic worship. But as this thing goes forward, one of my visions is for this to be a thing that connects to churches and is no longer outside the camp. See, we've been outside the camp. That's a biblical phrase because they won't let you in the temple. But we've been outside the camp. But this thing's going to start moving into the camp. And somebody with enough money is helping. And so we were ahead 17 years. We were ahead 2 years ago doing the best. And I think we're going to keep following this thing out. But if nothing else, that the interest is unbelievable. And well, it's not. It's starting. Isn't that cool? Give the Lord a clap off from there. Now, y'all, if you're on the text thing, which I hope you are. If you're not, then... thus saith the Lord, get on the texting service. Because I don't put stuff like this on Facebook. But in 3.5 weeks, Sean Foyt, who is Foyt, is a volunteer worship leader at Bethel. Okay, he was the one that last summer in California, he's from California, obviously. If you don't know, Bethel's in Northern California. They had, and still are to this day, churches can't meet. So he started something called Let Us Worship. And he said, I'm going to the beaches of Southern California. If they want to try to stop me, they can arrest me. Thousands showed up for worship. It's Bethel-style worship. And they went for a long time. You might have seen it. And hundreds of people got baptized and saved in the Pacific Ocean. I personally believe that was a revival, a true revival that was starting. Since then, he's been in many, many cities. Make a long story short, again, a connection through somebody in Chattanooga. And I don't want to put out names just because I hadn't asked them permission. They don't mind, but since all this is being recorded. We had a lunch Wednesday with quite a few people. He is going to be here May the 12th on Wednesday night. We don't know the venue. The person that's got the contact point has got an administrator that he thinks is going to do it. If not, we're plan B to try to administrate and bring this in. It's a big deal. It's expensive. It's a big deal. You got to rent stage, lights, policemen, the whole deal. But and then we'll be given all the churches in the round table. It was most of the, I think all the churches that were there, but there's quite a few businessmen, men there that are quite well off. Through that whole group, we're going to pay for this thing and bring it in. It's going to happen. Now, so that's an event. Let me tell you something bigger, though. You may or may not know this. We have taken quite a few hits over the years because they thought we were Bethelites. I'm not a part of their association because they don't, well, they now have an association you can join. I'm not going to join. We never said we were Bill Johnsonites or Bethelites, although I've read all of his books. I love his teachings, and Chris Vallotton, I publicly say I like the guys. But do you realize we've been criticized? I never publicize this. It's just like, okay, this is the hits you do. And it's not that even a big hit. I mean, if you're a persecuted Christian in China or Iran, they would laugh at us. But just as a fact, years ago we were made fun of because said we were wrong because we did Bethel music. That it promotes sexual promiscuousness and because we're chasing after God and intimacy. And I'm like, I don't even listen. I'm like, you got a problem with lust. You just need to deal with it. You know? And the whole deal. And you know, you've had some of it. And you probably don't know this. I've had to block phone numbers and Facebook accounts and Facebook Messenger of people who used to go here because we had some of the same beliefs as Bethel. And they were relentless. Tell me I wasn't saved and I was a heretic. And it wasn't even that we were following Bethel, but because we believed in some of the same things. And I'm like, yeah, I do. I believe that. Whatever it was, X, Y, Z, A, B, C, D, it doesn't really matter. So there's numbers to this day. I blocked them. Okay. You see where this is going. We've been standing firm. We've not changed our beliefs. Continue to do Bethel. Now a lot of churches do Bethel in this region. We don't even do Bethel as much. That was more what we did years ago. We still do some. A Bethel worship leader is doing a concert here in 3.5 weeks. We're trying to get the Trade Center. He wants it outdoors in the gravel area to shout over this city. Jim and Deborah Boyd, several years ago, opened 93.3. That's almost all the music they do is Bethel. Okay? Sometimes you do stuff and it's nobody likes it. And it's not approved. And it's just a grind. But you feel it's not Bethel. There's a message in this. Because we don't even do that much Bethel anymore. It's a message in this. And in 3.5 weeks, I think, this is Craig's opinion, 3.5 weeks when that's done, it's one night, that concert's done, that particular nail is going to be driven in the board. And it's going to be over. Yeah, there's always going to be battles other places, but we've done our part to help plant the seed, like prophetic worship. Once this prophetic worship starts, we're going to keep class, if that all works out, they got to work out the details. We're going to still keep doing what we're doing. But 17 years later, that nail's in the board. That's cool. And sometimes the area, the spiritual atmosphere is changing. Still a very small percentage of the city. But it's done. You know how you pray for something, and then you get to a place and you go, it's just done. We've got to see it. And so with prophetic worship and with some of the Bethel teachings, and thank God none of them know that I'm ordained by Rick Joyner. I'd have to block some more numbers. And so... Now they do, yeah. And so you go out there. I did this one time. This was a few years ago. I typed in Rick Joyner or something or another. There were 6,000 sites saying how bad he was and how he was a heretic and a non-Christian. And I'm like, what do these guys live for? Do they not have something better to do? It's one thing to talk about it, but to do a web page on it? To do a blog on it? I'm like, get a life. Is that too harsh? No, it's not too harsh. I could probably even say, really get a life, and it would even be better. And so that's cool about the Sean Fort thing. And so now, this is where I think this, so is the Sean Fort thing, is the prophetic worship. I'm just picking those two in the past week. This is where I think this region... We've made our decision, okay? We've helped plant some of these seeds along with other people. This is where I think this region in the next several years is going to get intense for other churches. This is Craig just knowing the thing. I believe a line is being drawn in the sand among churches in this region. I don't know about other regions. And that line is, are we going to go all in on the Holy Spirit? Or is He just going to be a doctrine that we get at salvation and maybe hear them a little bit when we read the Word. Now, when I say all in, that means not just hearing His voice, but whatever He says, He's Lord too, and we're going to follow Him. 2006, long time ago, showing my age, 15 years, the Lord clearly showed me, He said, you will not have a revival in this region until enough people say Holy Spirit is Lord too, like Jesus. I've never seen it happen. I've seen inklings of it. We're trying to do it. Other churches are trying to do it. But He's now up in the game in the region. And He is speaking to all of them. One way, form, or another. You're going to be all in on me. Everybody's calling is going to be different. Some of them still going to do hymns. It's not about prophetic worship of Bethel. Okay, that was what we're to help sow for different reasons. Okay? Theirs may be totally different, but it's still just as important to follow it. And so you're going to see among Christians and churches, I'm prophesying or predicting, a dividing line, and it's around Holy Spirit. And all you can do is just pray. Just say, hang on. We've made our decision, and the best that we can hear, we're going to follow it. But it's going to be a challenge. But He's moving in all of them. I'm going to say this. I think it's okay to say it. In March, a man that I did not know heard. I can't remember now. I've got it written down. I don't remember if it was a dream or a vision or a word. Heard the word Ringgold. He's in Nashville, Tennessee. He didn't even know what it meant. Eventually, it led to Northwest Georgia and Ringgold. He didn't know what to do with it, but he is a part of many prayer groups and ascension groups. They went nuts with it. None of them from here, or very few of them from here. Started praying against the spirit of disunity in this area. Through somebody else says, do you know any pastors there? And the person said, well, I know Michael Watkins. He's not in Ringgold, but he's in Varnell. By the way, the Lord showed me it. Over a year ago, the face of much of what the roundtable is going to do is going to come through Northwest Christian Fellowship. And for us to support them as much as possible, it's their job to walk humbly in that assignment, and they will. And it's just, you just know your assignments. And so Michael and I met with this guy this week, and what I said was basically the same. But do you see? He's now giving words for this region to people outside this region. That means the Holy Spirit is starting to... stuff's bubbling up to the surface now. The plants are coming above the surface. I don't know if I have permission to say it, so I won't. But there's another person from another city contacted Michael with five dreams about this region. Not even in this region. So what do we need to do? We need to keep walking closely with Holy Spirit. We don't make something happen that's not there. We don't try. But He's positioning us and other people for something bigger. But you're going to see as the Holy Spirit gets stronger with prophetic worship, as they start training prophetic worship leaders, as they start seeding them wherever they seed them, you can see that battle line. Are we going to listen to Holy Spirit or not? It's one thing to do this kind of contemporary music. It's a whole nother one. I don't know where this team is going to go. And the spirit of Jezebel will be fighting it. Because it's an apostolic movement, and the Holy Spirit and the apostles are always attacked by Jezebel. That's not our battle. But we're going to pray and intercede and do what we can. So there's that dividing line that we're going to see in this region played out over the next several years. Yeah, let me get the microphone just so in case anybody wants to listen on the tape. Man, that thing's hot.
I'm sure I haven't heard what's to come, but I hear all the time music that's almost haunting, because for lack of a better word, from the heavenlies, but that same prophetic worship is what will defeat Jezebel.
Yes.
So it's very, very yes. important that if you are called to this, even if you have an inkling, and it's going to come in our teens, it's going to come from the, there's already a lot being talked to right now. Mm-hmm. I see them. It's going to come in, we have dabbled in it along the way in places that we have gone. Teresa and I have been a part of some of it. When we went to that grant in Azusa, yeah, we've heard some of it, but y'all, it is different. It is different. And Whitney's,
it's all right.
You're being groomed. I did. Whitney's being groomed. Of course, Sean's being groomed. I don't know, the whole band maybe, but I see Whitney being groomed in that direction.
That's good. Prophesy. That's all right.
For us. So it is definitely going to be different. And I want to encourage the body to start praying into that, sowing into that, becoming a part of it as much as you can, so you're not caught in that Jezebel
Good.
Place and taken out.
Yeah.
The enemy seeks to remove the Holy Spirit loving church. So,
That's
yeah.
good. I'm spending some time. The reason I say some, it's hard to know exactly how much and where to do it. How do you steward a move of God without controlling it? As you look at revival, Rick Joyner has probably the best teachings on revival. They have to be stewarded, or else Jezebels and witches will take over because they try to stop it. But you cannot control it. So there has to be some wisdom there. Has to be some understanding, a high knowledge of, is this God or is this a Jezebel or witches? As I look at moves across America, there's a few of them here and there. The witches, it's a big deal. You realize there's more witches now than there are atheists. Oh, good, man. I'm going to show them who the power of God is, man. And really show. Let me just mention the church in America. I'm sure this includes us in the region. Church in America. Let me read to you, and this is my opinion, and I submit it to you for whatever. It doesn't really matter, except I like to understand what the Lord's doing. So I can, He says, before I do anything on the earth, I'm going to tell the prophets. Right now, the office of prophets going through a lot of pruning, but that's okay. We're not getting rid of it. We're going to prune the thing. Amen? And we've talked about that in the past. This is where I think the church in America is at. Galatians 1:10. And I wasn't planning on teaching all this, but it seems to flow this morning. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I honestly believe the church as a whole, now there's like 400,000 churches, so I am making a big generalization here, and there's probably tens of thousands of exceptions, I know easily, maybe 100,000. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? I think the challenge for the church in America, I don't have my thoughts totally together, so I'm trying to put all this together. The scriptures talk about woe to you when men call evil good and good evil. And in end times, it'll be lawless times. We are there. Riots in multiple cities this week. Lawlessness, not just against police, but against the constraints of God in all kinds of areas. Witchcraft, occult, sexuality, all kinds of stuff. We are now openly with different bills in Congress calling good evil and evil good. You can put that in. So, what does that mean? That's a commentary on our society. And what I see in America is almost no, and I'm not exaggerating, outcry from the church. I think that's the battle for the church. And I think the line is being drawn to say, this is good, based on the Word of God, and this is evil. I believe the chaos in our country is because we have never taken that stand in the last 50 years, and we've lived off the momentum of Christians that went before us before that time. But that's gone now. We're at the end of the momentum. And so the church as a whole, as you look at it and pray, I think this is the dividing line. Are we going to go after the approval of men or the approval of God? And until that is done, I do not think this country is going to turn around. As I said last week, 2 Chronicles 7:14, we've heard so much about if you do these things, pray, I will heal your land. But if you notice, there were four things there. Humble yourself, pray, seek the face of God, and turn from our wicked ways. Most churches believe what's going on is evil, but they're not saying anything. And that's the challenge. You know, we're a small church. We don't have that kind of influence in the political realm. But I believe the battle is the approval of man or the approval of God. If we do not take the approval of God, we're cowards. And as it says at the end of Revelation, it says the sexually impure, the murderers, witchcraft, liars will be tossed into the fiery lake. The first in that list is cowards. And I think we're, you know, in the areas that we have to do, we've taken a stand. We're just not a big political church. And so that's where the battle of our church is at. And I think Christians, frankly, huge portions of them were in shock for 4 years of Trump. They're glad now with the current regime. And then those that were for Trump are now in shock. It's about a 50-50 ratio. So that may be the way this congregation is. So either way, I'm not glad you're in shock. My point is this. You could have the most biblical, ordained, anointed president doing everything biblically right. It will not change this country. This country is not changed by politics. It's changed by righteous people. You follow me? Now, I want a president that's biblical, anointed, doing the right things. But what changes morals is never laws. It may hold something in check, but we don't have enough policemen. We found that in the Prohibition in the 20s. We outlawed alcohol, and all, that's where the mafia started. Okay, it's just not going to work. We've outlawed drugs and spent tens of billions. There's more people on drugs than ever. I'm not saying get rid of it, that law. Laws do not change more. A conviction of people being in the face of God causes changes. And so for us here, we've planted lots of seeds. Keep walking in peace. In this region, it's slowly, you're seeing intimacy come in, you're seeing prophetic worship come in, the line is around the Holy Spirit. You'll start seeing it in your friends. They'll start getting more moved towards the Holy Spirit, or they'll start getting more closed off to the Holy Spirit. I don't want to take the time, but I'm here to tell you, there are denominational churches in this town. I listened to a YouTube of a Methodist church this week. It wasn't yours. I'm sure it might be at yours, but where you were, but it was another one. They were talking about apostles, prophets. They got some word 37 years ago that they resurrected and said, we've got to fulfill this thing. Is that unbelievable or not? A United Methodist Church. It's happening. And they're choosing. And for this country, we've just got to call in love, not judgment, take a stand for the Word of God. Because through that, eyes are opened and hearts are opened. And I believe there's going to be some churches won't go with the Holy Spirit, but a lot will. I believe some churches, and it's very obvious now, are going to take the cowardice route. But there's going to be enough to take the stand. I am a Christian and all that it means. And if I'm not approved by my culture, as the culture, so be it. Amen. I'm approved by the culture of heaven. And we're going to see, I believe, changes come because there's going to be enough momentum. It doesn't take much. It just takes people that have become bold because they've been in the face of God. As we've been talking about, and I guess we'll talk about next week. I was going to end on humility today, but we'll get to it maybe next week. Who knows? It's on the schedule. Humility brings strength and confidence, if y'all remember that from a couple weeks ago. Why? Because you've been in the face of God. You know what He wants. And when you're partnering on His side, it doesn't matter who else is against you. It doesn't even matter if you get beat up, or not physically beat up, but if you lose, in the end, He always wins. Do you realize the Nazi movement? There was only 3.5% of the people were Nazis in Germany. 3.5% were bold, set in their ways, opinionated. They turned an entire nation, including almost all of those Christians in that nation. They were cowards. That's the battle before us. All we need is 3.5% of people. Study after study, that was a secular study, shows that will turn. How many of you 20 years ago would have believed how far the homosexual movement has come, that it's now legal to get married? We would have never believed that. Do you realize that was, again, only 2 to 3% of the population? But they were wise, much wiser than Christians. Let's just face it. We lost that battle because whatever. We did what we did. But that 2 to 3% of the people turned that battle and architected their message skillfully. It was wonderful, brilliant. And now it's in law, it's everything. And that battle has been lost. There's no use changing the laws on that. If we want to change them, we can get them changed, fine, but it's not going to do any different. It's going to be like drugs and alcohol. The only thing that's going to change is when we get to know the Lord and the fear of the Lord comes in and His holiness comes in. And you go, oh my God, this is your standard? I don't remember the passage because I didn't look it up, but in Ananias and Sapphira, how many of you heard that story in Acts? They sold a piece of property and came to the apostles and gave them and said, here's all the money from the land we give to the church. And they withheld a portion of it, which was their right. I don't see in the scriptures where God said to give it all. Their mistake was saying they gave it all. Okay. He dies. Yes, he went first, right? And then she came along and they said, hey, and she says the exact same story and she dies. Do you realize after it says the fear of Christians came upon Jerusalem? Because of hidden sin. And so our job as we go forward, and they said they wouldn't join their group. They were in awe of them, but they wouldn't join their group. Because they didn't want to deal with their hidden sin. And so our job as we go forward is to rest in the Lord, be peaceful in the Lord. If you got any hidden sin, just say, God, I repent and help me to get over this thing. Amen. And He will, and it says right after that, man, great miracles was done in Acts. That's what He's setting us up for. Amen? Any other comments before I close? Yeah, come on up.
I would have never dreamed to. Is this on?
Yeah, it takes about 4 seconds to come
okay.
in.
I would never dreamed to have shared this, but it seems to really fit with what you were saying. I heard a pastor talk this week. I like history, so when he started getting into the history, and he was talking about this, basically separation of church and state. And that's kind of what you're talking about this morning, the influence of the church. And what he did is he went into a history lesson of back in the whole 76, the whole founding of this country, founding fathers, and et cetera, and started naming names of the different churches and pastors. I wish I could remember the names, but I remember Lexington to Kentucky was a key, New Hampshire, New Jersey, going through the sequence of events of, and of course it was a little bit different time of where the churches were the center of the communities and et cetera. And basically saying the founding fathers that wrote our Constitution, that wrote the Bill of Rights and et cetera, the church was such an integral part of all of those principles behind all of that. And even to the point to where he get told the story of Paul Revere coming in and saying the British are coming, whether by sea or by land, that Paul Revere came to the pastor that led and knew it within that city, not the political leaders, didn't know who was supporting the British or who was supporting the independents. And he actually came to the pastors and churches leaders there. And it's interesting, and so anyway, just I kind of leave that with you, is that we so have gotten our history and our principles so watered down, and me, who even likes history, is like, wow, that was a wake-up call. I'd forgotten a lot of that because it's just not taught anymore. And that's what this country was founded on. So, you know, it was just a Supreme Court ruling in the 50s that talked about separation of church and state. That's not in the Constitution. And yet we operate like we got to keep them separate. Mm-hmm. And the influence needs to be there, like you mm-hmm. talked about this morning. Even to the point to where this person that was speaking said he refused to establish his organization as a 501(c). And it hurt badly to raise donations and to raise up that organization. But he wanted to make sure that he could teach and preach and move that organization as God led it, not by certain laws of the land.
That's good. So I want you to be encouraged. He's moving in this church. Peace is here. He's moving in this region. And I'm seeing more and more churches of all stripes following after the Holy Spirit. It's exciting. And we're going to see him move in our country. And it's going to, and more and more churches are getting pushed far enough, provoked far enough, that they're taking a stand. So let's just stand and let's just pray. Father, I thank you for what you're doing at RC. I thank you for what you're doing in this region and in the other churches. And I thank you for what you're doing in this country. And I love it when Joshua went to war, he's fixing to go to war, he saw an angel, and he asked the angel, he said, "What side are you on, ours or theirs?" Joshua, wasn't it? Or was it Caleb? Joshua, yeah. And he said, "I'm not on your side or their side. I'm on the side of the Lord." And Father, I pray for myself personally and for our church and our influence that we don't force sides. We go, "Well, Father, what side are you on?" And we move towards it. I pray for every person's home that this peace, if it's not there already, is in their home and in their kids and in their marriage. And even in their finances, that there's peace there. It's not anarchy and chaos is for more bills than they can pay or for whatever they may be challenging. But it is prosperous, and that we prosper, as 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, spirit, soul, and body. I pray peace upon them, and they hear your voice better than they ever have before. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. You